Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to visit us and call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you want to do, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, since it is Wednesday, that means there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And if you could like that while you're over there, I mean, what the heck, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and give it a like. Dan and I both appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, well, of course, it's at Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, so as we jump into it today, I'm not sure if I can categorize this as complete stupidity, or maybe it's just ignorance or something that, you know, all these, I'm going to go with the term morons here, wanted to overlook. You know, Steve Kerr came out in an interview, I believe he did it on the Golden State Warriors podcast, and he mentioned specifically the way players are forcing their ways out of contracts to be traded. So, of course, he brought up the Anthony Davis to the Lakers deal as, you know, these things being bad for the league. Now, you know, of course, he is right on about this. These are ridiculous. I mean, especially the way this one went down where, you know, the agent sabotaged any trade value Davis had. You know, with the term of, well, he can sign, you know, they can trade him wherever he wants, but he's signing with the Lakers next year. So, you know, I mean, that was just asinine. But for some reason, and I don't know why people decided to point this out, they brought up the fact that the Warriors got Kevin Durant. Now, of course, Dan, the gigantic difference between this is Durant didn't go to Oklahoma City and say, hey, you need to trade me, and the only place I'm going to go is Golden State. He was a free agent and was allowed to sign anywhere he wanted to, just like when he signed with Brooklyn this offseason, just like when LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland, back to the Lakers. There was no trading involved, but yet somehow these morons tried to lay this on Kerr like he had already done this and he was complaining about it. And I get so baffled by this, Dan, because obviously you and I don't have a research department. We don't have interns working with us. You know, to be honest, I do most of this off of memory, and then I try to look crap up when I need to. Why did these idiots, and I'm speaking specifically about the Mickey Mouse Network because they're the defenders of the NBA, why do you think they decided, is it the fact that they need the, or they want the Lakers to be good because it's ratings, or why did they just kind of try to make Kerr out to be the bad guy in this situation? I don't get it. Uh-oh. Well, I know Dan fell off, but I thought I brought him back in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
okay. You made it. So. Yeah, because, I mean, I listened to, like, show after show today. And everybody, well, the Warriors did this with Kevin Durant. No, they didn't. You know, and it was just kind of like, give me a break. You know, and I know this isn't the first time this has happened. You know, it's just the latest time But I believe this is the first time it's happened where an agent has actually came out and threatened teams that were interested in trading for the player. You know, like I know Jimmy Butler got moved last year under the same type of situation, but I don't remember his agent going to the 76ers and saying, yeah, hey, great, you can trade for him, but he's going to sign, you know, wherever this year. I believe he ended up in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember hearing that come out of Jimmy Butler's agent. But Rich Paul flat out said, anybody who wants to trade for Davis can, but he's only going to be there 1 year because he'll be joining the Lakers.
But it's okay because LeBron's company.
Yeah, because it's the Lakers, and it gives us a chance to get LeBron back into the playoffs where the league so desperately needs them because their rating sucked last year and the Mickey Mouse Network overpaid to broadcast the game. So, it was just kind of ridiculous listening to these guys who, you know, are accredited NBA experts. I mean, did they somehow forget that Durant was a free agent? So, you know, I mean, I didn't hear them killing Brooklyn for signing Durant and Kyrie Irving. So, yeah, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, it just kind of really bothered me because I didn't understand where it was coming from. And, you know, the sad part about it all is Curry's right. You know, you can't have these guys who are under contract start crying and whining about stuff and start forcing their way, you know, off of teams. I mean, it becomes bad for the league because, you know, now any player with a little talent who may be on a bad team can basically do this. So, I guess that's the price you pay for having a players' league, huh, Dan?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it wasn't like that when Kerr was playing.
No, oh, God, no. You know. you know, and I mean, you know, the other thing, you know, these guys have to think about, I get that they all want the big money long-term deal, but you got to remember when you sign for those 4 or 5 years, I think it is in the NBA, your salary cap is going to continue to go up and the salaries are going to continue to go up. So by the time you get to the end of the deal, you're probably not going to be anywhere close to the salary position you were in among the rest of the players because, you know, everything is continuing to go up. So to bitch about it, that's almost you and your agent's own stupidity, isn't it? I mean, you negotiated it. So, you know, I mean, you were all excited to sign it there.
Now, who's upset that they're signed somewhere and now they're stuck?
No, you know, that just comes up from time to time. That's actually more of an NFL thing. That's what the blog ended up being about today. But, you know, I mean, they have shorter careers, and I can understand why, you know, those guys are kind of out there looking for bigger paydays when they, you know, they hit like the fifth year of this rookie deal. But, you know, the NBA guys can play, you know, if you've got talent, you can play for, what did Dirk just play for, 20 seasons?
Yeah,
19. So, you know, I mean, you know, you can hang around for a long time there. So, you know, you have the time to make the money. You know, the NFL is the small, short window, you know, if you've got talent to get those paydays. You know, the NBA, if you're the guy, you know, I mean, you'll be getting paid till you're 40. So, you know, just one of those things. And then the other thing that I don't know. This kind of baffled me, and I don't know if you caught this one, but over the weekend, Dan Levitard, who actually hosts a couple shows on the Mickey Mouse Network, his radio show I enjoy. He's got a co-host named Stu Gotts that's just terrible, but he does a half-hour show with his father and his co-host, who is highly questionable, which I actually get a kick out of. His father is actually very entertaining. He's like 70 or 75, and he really makes the show. So, God forbid anything happens to him, or else I think they're off the air. But over the weekend, he kind of got on his soapbox about the good old Mickey Mouse Network not letting their hosts air what their political beliefs are. And Dan, I got to tell you, I'm not turning on an all sports network to find out what anybody hosting any show is thinking about politics. I mean, I don't know about you. Is that where you go to get your political news in all sports networks?
No, he can, if that's what he wants to do, maybe he should switch platforms and try to join Fox News or CNN or, you know, whatever I'm assuming Trump-hating channel he wants, because I would just assume that's where he's going with it.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's got a Twitter account or an Instagram or, you know, whatever it is. And, I'm guessing as long as it's not associated with the network, you know, I mean, if it's your personal account and you're not using, you know, those magical four letters in it, you should be able to talk about that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I get slowly but surely I get baffled. You know, that's the problem that Jemele Hill ran into, you know, on that network, is she decided that all of a sudden she needed to be political. You know, I get it. It draws attention to you and it's eye-catching and everybody goes, oh, yeah, look at this person. They're going out on a limb to state their beliefs. You know, like you and I have a platform to do this right here, but I have absolutely no idea who you voted for in the last presidential election. I didn't even ask you. Why? Because nobody who listens to us cares, do they?
No.
You know, I mean, if I think about as far as we went is that we knew you were an election judge.
Yeah, don't do it.
So, you know, I kind of get baffled more and more, and I just don't understand this. You know, why do these people think that we care one iota what their beliefs are? I mean, you know, here's a guy who's a sports reporter for the Miami Herald. You know, why do I care what a guy who writes about sports thinks about politics? You know, you got an explanation for that one?
No.
You know, and of course, this is the same guy, in case you don't remember, Dan Levitard. He's the guy who stole this Hall of Fame ballot to, I forgot who it was. Was it Rolling Stone or something like that? And of course, now he's no longer a Hall of Fame voter. No surprise there. So, you know, it's not the first time he's done something like that. I think actually, though, Dan, the thing I'm shocked about most with this is he basically called out the network, and they didn't suspend him. Apparently, he did take Monday off from his radio show, but that was by choice. Yeah. That was a personal choice. The network didn't make him do that. And I've seen his half-hour show all 3 days this week, and he's hosted every episode. So are you a little surprised they didn't come down on him a little bit? Because normally they do.
I mean, I think it's a matter of the degree of his, you know, I didn't see it, so I think it depends on how far he went with it.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't get all the quotes and stuff, because to be honest with you, I just don't care. You know, when it comes to stuff like this, I just, you know, I look to you for answers for these things, because I just don't understand why the hell but these guys do it. You know, they think that, you know, I mean, do they honestly think that something they're going to say is going to swing a voter to vote that way? I mean, like I said, I enjoy the show very much. It's called Highly Questionable. I really like it, but I don't care what his political beliefs are. You know, it's not going to – the only way that's going to affect me watching the show is if he starts talking about him on the show, because I'm going to turn it off. So, you know, you got to help me out here. I don't get this.
Yeah, well, you should have watched the video or seen the footage and sent it to me. That could have helped you more.
Yeah, well, I think there was something that was written down. I don't think there was a video to it or anything. I just read some excerpts from it, you know, and it was over the weekend. So we're talking about something that I just kind of forgot about. And it popped into my head when I brought up the Mickey Mouse Network beating up on Steve Kerr. You know, for the things he said, and yet they, you know, kind of let their guy slide. So, you know, it's tough. I'm old. I forget to do these things from time to time. So, you know, I'm lucky I can figure out how to post a blog. Okay, give me some credit there.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot easier to share from a mobile device, like a tablet, than it is the Asian computer.
What is a mobile device?
Or as Mr. Fantasy would call it, what does he call it again? A device? Or...
God, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in so long, I didn't tell you what he calls anything anymore. I'm to the point where if I'm not even sure if he remembers my name. Yeah. So, but all right, well, I'm guessing here, Dan, as we move along, I'm not sure if you feel the same way about this as I do, but I'm under the impression the Cubs have found their scapegoat for anything that happens this season, and it appears to be Addison Russell, who was shipped off to AAA when Wilson Contreras was activated today. For some reason, and I don't know why, but everybody I've seen and or you know heard talk about it today is really under the impression that Russell sucked, even though he is hitting .247, which is just a little under his career high of .250 from last year. So he, you know, he's right on target. He's actually better than his career average of .242. You know, I mean, he's got the 6 home runs. I mean, you know, with the exception of the 1 year he hit 21, you know, you don't expect him to hit more than 13 or 14. So he was on pace to probably do that. That's the only thing I can think of, Dan, is, you know, it's got to be his fault. And they, you know, whatever they decided the problem was, because they kept this Robel Garcia, who's, you know, hitting .256, so not much more than Russell, but he does have 4 home runs, except he's exclusively an outfielder, where Russell can play second, short, and third. So will we see Addison Russell get traded here in the weekend? Is this the end of it for the Cubs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think anyone who is in any sort of minor need of a middle infielder should immediately claim him because he didn't get DFA'd. But I think you should be looking for it. And, you know, this is one of those things where they, you know, again, trying to be the smartest guy in the room and trying to appease the masses made you lose sight of what baseball really is about, and that's the business and winning. And you want to use morale into it or morals into it more so. You didn't have those morals when you signed Aroldis Chapman. So don't play, you can't play that card.
Right, yeah, you can't play two sides of the same.
No, you can't. So, I mean, I think Theo's going to get to the point and to where he just ends up in the next couple of years doing what he did in Boston.
Leaving?
Yeah, so,
obviously the humorous thing, Dan, I mean, you've pointed this out a million times, Russell gets the boot hitting .247, but somehow Daniel Descalzo gets to hang around hitting .81.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did that one work?
Because he's a quote-unquote clubhouse leader, even though he leads the clubhouse.
Yeah, obviously not by example.
No.
So, you know, because, I mean, you know, in reality, I mean, they're basically the same player. I know DeSalvo can play a little bit of outfield and Russell can't. The big difference, of course, is the fact that Russell is a gold glove defender, and if given a chance to play full-time, he would win some. DeSalvo's never going to win a gold glove.
But is he even worth a late inning defensive replacement?
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is, like, you would think he would be. You know, because, I mean, you look at the options at second base, and we're talking about you're down to playing Daniel DeSalvo or David Bote, unless Ben Zobrist comes back. Russell is clearly the superior defender out of that group. You know, you're not moving Javi Baez back to second. He's anchored himself at short. You know, I don't know, Dan, is that another position Chris Plank can play that we don't know about?
I mean, he would be probably the tallest second baseman ever. no, I mean, it's one of those things, again, trying – you know, I didn't read the article. I just saw the newspaper, seeing as I don't, you know, actually purchase newspapers. I use this wonderful thing we call the internet. I don't need to feel, you know, I don't need to get my fingertips all dirty with black ink. I don't know what the expression is with that, but theology. You know, they're trying to make a play on theology, like theology. And theology is just going to back himself into a corner where he's got no moves and he's literally dropped the ball in any. And while Uncle Bob press on, a consistently playoff caliber team, well, yes, but playoff caliber team should have been expected to win more than one world, and at the rate they're going, there's not going to be another World Series in the next, right now, in the next 3 years. So,
I think, the other odd part to all this is, both days this week, you and I were talking about the trade rumors and, everything says, the Cubs need a bat. The Cubs are going to go out and get a bat. They're going to add this guy. They're going to add that guy. But yet the last two games on Monday, the bullpen blew the game and they lost. On Tuesday, the bullpen blew the game and they lost. But yet they need a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the idiot here? Can you help me out? I'm really starting to think I'm a complete moron when it comes to baseball, because I keep looking at this, Dan, and, they're saying bat, 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 they need a bat, and yet the bullpen has lost back-to-back winnable games.
Well, and not only that, how great is the Craig Kimbrel signing now that you can't get the ball to him with the lead?
Right. He's nowhere to the point where he can pitch a second inning yet. So, you can't run him out there for more than one inning, because you'd probably be taking a pretty good chance of getting him injured. So, I can't figure it out when I hear it, but, everything I've heard is, the Cubs are going to add a bat and they need a bat, then – I keep looking at the offense and, if you could add that stud second baseman, great, I'll take him. But there aren't very many of those around that are, teams are going to be willing to trade. And obviously, the humorous thing is the Cubs actually had two in DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres, And they're both producing for the team that has the best record in baseball right now. So, or no, second best record. Dodger. You know, and obviously I'm never going to kill them for the Torres trade because that won them the World Series getting Chapman. So, you know, I'll never bother them for that. But, God, they gave up on LeMahieu. You know, he was never going to cut it here. And, you know, he went to Colorado, won a batting title. I guess that's just his rap because, remember, there were people questioning the signing when the Yankees signed him because they had picked up Tulowitzki. So they didn't – oh, we don't need – they don't need LeMahieu. They – you know, we just signed Tulo, and he's going to anchor the shortstop position and, you know, stay healthy, and he's going to lead the Yankees to victory. Yeah, he's played five games this year, Dan, while LeMahieu is hitting .333 with 15 bombs. So, yeah. Again, Dan, why am I the idiot? Can you help me out here?
Well, and not only that, I mean, you know, you obviously can't go back. And I did like the Quintana signing, but I still would have been much happier with having Eloy Jimenez playing left field.
Yeah.
And Kyle Schwarber somewhere else, DH-ing full time.
Yeah, you know, like I'm sitting here trying to think of a – you know, a top second baseman that, you know, you can actually go get. And, you know, I'm sure the Mets would gladly give you Robinson Cano, but I don't know if he's considered a top second baseman anymore. And obviously there's a whole lot of money still left on that deal that nobody wants. You know, and I mean, you know, some of the other ones in the game, I mean, obviously Altuve's not going anywhere. You know, they're not giving him up. And, you know, Max Muncy has been a find for the Dodgers, so he's not going anywhere. I don't want to see them go get, like, a Jason Kipnis or anything like that. I don't believe that solves their problem. But, yeah, that's – you know, that you know, if the Cubs aren't going to go out and get a middle reliever or, you know, some kind of setup guy, second base is really the only place they need to add. And, you know, I don't think Eric Sogard's the answer. You know, that's not going to do anything for anybody. But, yeah, I you know, I just don't know. And, like, I don't think they can pay the price for Whit Merrifield. You know, the Royals want a boatload of prospects there, and the Cubs just don't have it. So, I don't know. Maybe could they go get Starlin Castro back? I know he's having kind of a down year. You know, maybe he would pick it back up with the Cubs.
Yeah, he's not the old guy, but he's got to wonder how valuable Kyle Schwarber would be to the Royals.
Yeah. Well, of course, then again, maybe they're sick of Cub outfielders because they do have Jorge Soler, even though he is having a good year for them. So,
yeah.
You know, I just saw, I think, what did he hit? I think he just hit like his 26th or 27th home run, something like that. Yeah, 27. So that's not bad when you play for the Royals, even in a juiced ball season. But, yeah, that's just kind of, you know, again, it's just all that fun stuff that, you know, kind of baffled me when it gets going. And again, you know, I start to wonder on, you know, why the hell you and I can see it and talk about it here, but yet we seem to be the only guys who can see it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll be the first to admit, you know, we, neither one of us discounted the Quintana trade. You know, it wasn't – I thought it was a good trade. You know, again, I would like to see Eloy still in Chicago playing left field. I think he would have been a great full-time option if you were able to put Eloy, Almora, and Hayward in your outfield. I think you have knocked down for the next, you know, at least through the end of Hayward's contract, you would have had one killer outfield with the bat and the glove. But, you know, that wasn't the one that, you know, it's easy to say in retrospect. But, I mean, we've been saying it since the end of the World Series that they should have moved Kyle Schwarber. You know, I'm glad that he put in the work to lose the weight and get faster and try to learn the outfield. But what does all that matter when your coach and your front office, the guys who are supposedly behind you, don't have faith in you on a full-time basis?
Yeah, you know, it's always tough to tell. I mean, obviously they liked him enough when they thought he was going to be a 40 home run guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but now that he looks, I mean, you know, more and more, I mean, he almost looks like a platoon player. You know, he looks like a guy you can legitimately only play against, you know, right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, there's one of those, you know, fun things. I mean, you know, he got to play in, you know, the World Series. He was a big part of that kind of deal. So, you know, I get it. But, you know, you get attached to these guys. And this is the thing Mr. Fantasy always cries about with me in fantasy is, you know, I get too attached to my guys and I don't want to deal them. And it almost kind of seems like that's where the Cubs are with Schwarber. You know, it's like he's Theo's guy, Theo found this guy, and he's not going anywhere because of that. So, you know, but a guy like, again, you know, a guy like Addison Russell, who was a key component to their rebuild in a trade. You know, well, he wasn't drafted by Theo, so, you know, we can run him out of town kind of like we did Starlin Castro, things like that. You know what I mean? It is humorous. I remember at the beginning of the year, everybody wanted Chris Bryant gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now, you know, and obviously he won't win the MVP award, but he'll probably end up getting some MVP votes. You know, I won't be surprised if he finishes in the top 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just baffling, and it drove me to the point to where I just can't watch the Cubs because I can't deal with their fans. So, but yeah, you know, it's just kind of some of the odd. You know, the odd things. And then, oh, well, you would have got a kick out of this one, Dan. I was trying to remember what it was. I can't remember if it was Baseball Tonight or if I picked it up on one of the other baseball shows. But they were talking about how, you know, as of late, both the Tampa Bay Rays and the Milwaukee Brewers have struggled lately. And in their analysis breakdown, Dan, the reason they believe that these teams are struggling, overuse of the bullpen. Gee, Dan, where have we heard that term before? Maybe not overuse, but I believe I threw out terms like wore out, or they would bury their bullpen with as much as they would have to use it. Again, you know, how am I the moron? I can't figure this one out, Dan. You're not helping me here. You know, you and I talked about this with the Brewers at the beginning of the season, that with the way they handled their starters, they were going to kill their bullpen. You know, I mean, we just talked about it yesterday with Tampa Bay using the opener. They bury their bullpen, you know, because you got a guy, you know, you've basically got to cover a 9-inning game with your bullpen because, you know, you don't have that fifth starter. But yet, we're the idiots somehow.
Yeah, well, because you don't need a fifth starter because you have the bullpen.
Right. Well, you know, depending on who you talk to, I mean, if you listen to good old Brian Kenny, you don't need starters at all. You know, I mean, I think guys like, you know, Justin Verlander and guys in that category of pitcher would probably have some issues with that. But, you know, he's definitely under the agreement that they – you know, you don't need starters at all. Just run a pitcher out there. So, you know, but all right, Dan, we're a week away from the wild card. I got five teams here that they say are on the bubble. I'm going to throw the name at you. Take a minute or so and tell me if you think they're going to be buyers or sellers by the time we're doing the podcast next Wednesday. All right? You ready for team number one? Was that a yes?
You disappeared.
Oh, okay. I said I got this thing where there's five teams that are on the bubble. So I'm going to throw the names that you want one at a time. Take your time. I want you to know by the time we do the podcast next Wednesday, will they be buyers or sellers? All right. You ready for team number one?
Oh, yeah. And you mean by the trade deadline,
all right,
not the wild card.
Yeah, a lot of – well, you can count the wild card however you want to count it. Doesn't matter to me. Number one, the team we talked about quite a bit yesterday, the San Francisco Giants. You know, by the time the 31st rolls around, are they buying or are they selling?
They're buying.
Ooh, that would be cool. All right, this is an interesting one here, Dan. I think we covered this team maybe a little bit yesterday. Boston Red Sox, buying, selling?
I think they're going to be sellers.
Yeah, I think they're in a tough spot this year. All right, team number three here, Dan, the Oakland A's. You know, they did buy Homer Bailey earlier, but do they continue on that route? Are they going to buy still, or do they maybe decide they're not in and they break it down?
Yeah, I still think they buy.
All right, team number four, Dan, this was a lot of people's favorite to win it all. At the start of the season, they made the big Bryce Harper signing. We got the Phillies sitting here. Do they buy or are they going to sell?
They have to buy. They need to buy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Now, you know, after I run team five by you here, I got an interesting take on the Phillies here, but. You know, team number five, you know, this is a team, Dan, everybody's been dying to get this team into the playoffs just because they want to see one special outfielder. Number five is the Angels, Dan. Obviously, they would have a couple teams to jump because I believe they're behind the A's as well. Are they gonna try to buy, maybe sell? I don't know. Where you know, can they get Mike Trout in the playoffs if they buy?
I don't know. I feel like sadly this is a team that just remains stagnant. I don't know. I know that's not an
option. That is possible as well. Maybe they do just kind of ride it out. But you know, and I don't know why this kind of popped into my head. I think it was after we went off the air yesterday. You know, you remember, you know, last offseason, you know, good old Uncle Bob talked to you about how Bryce Harper was going to come here because he wanted to play with Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dan, Bryant's only a few years away from free agency. He would be a gigantic upgrade at third base for the Phillies over Mikhail Franco. What do you think the chances are that Ryan ends up playing with Harper but in Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, statistically speaking, I don't know. You know, I think it's always a 50-50 chance, but I think at this point it's around 65%.
You know, because remember Philadelphia was saying, you know, they had all that stupid money to spend, and they really only spent it on Harper.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that would kind of mean that they should still have some of that stupid money hanging out there. You know, I'm trying to do you remember off the top of your head when Bryant reaches free agency or?
I think it's 2021.
Yes, I can jump on and look here really quick. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting because I remember all the talk about, you know, oh yeah, he's coming to the Cubs because he wants to play with Chris Bryant, and you know the Cubs are going to throw all this money at him, and it doesn't matter that we don't have a spot for him to play. You know, he's going to be here. And yeah, I just kind of thought of it, of the fact of, you know, well, what happens if this goes, you know, the other way? Because, you know, obviously, you know, we talked about it. You know, the Cubs are going to be in an interesting roster situation because, you know, we're going to see Baez come up real soon. Actually, he's the same year as Bryant. So is Schwarber. You know, Russell, if he's hanging around. You know, Rizzo's only got a year left on his deal. I don't know if they can keep all these guys. But it's not till 2022 that Bryant reaches free agency. So barring a trade, he'll be here two more years.
But yeah, well, I guess
the end of 2021. Yeah. So, but yeah, I just kind of found that quite interesting that it's like, yeah, maybe they will play together in Philadelphia. So,
I mean, to throw that out there, I do not see that happening by next week.
Yeah.
I think that would be an off-season thing that would happen because. You know, for the Phillies, they'd have to give up. You know, the Cubs are not going to make that trade right now.
No.
The position that they're
no,
in.
Not now.
You know, and then the Phillies really have to really put together something and make some other deals to where they can maybe procure some number one prospects into their system in the event to kind of fill that up real quick. They, you know, so that they can make a move like that for the Cubs. You're only going to get excited if you got a number one or two, a couple of number ones.
Yeah, allegedly, they do have some really good prospects. So, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, I did find it. The other thing I found really humorous is, you know, I was trading emails with Stu about the trade deadline. And he wanted to know why the Cubs weren't selling. And I'm like, they're in first place, aren't they? Why would they sell? So, you know, again, it's just, it can be baffling sometimes. And I don't know if he was upset because they lost, you know, the first two games on the West Coast. But, you know, that always kind of happens when they go out there. It's just how the West Coast goes for some reason for Chicago teams. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, sure.
Well, I mean, there's only one guy that they need to sell, and that's Kyle Schwarber.
Well, you know, they have to sell Almora. You know, Almora needs to go away. You know, I mean, they got a lot of guys get rid of. They could take them.
Yeah, but the one that's going to bring value back and maybe bring some bullpen help would be Schwarber. If you trade Almora, you're going to get possibly a major league guy, you know, that you and I and baseball people are familiar with, but maybe not a household name.
You know, they don't want to bring a guy for Almora. They just want like a Class A prospect that they can develop. So.
No, you get two. You would get two. Well, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Then let me finish. You know, they're going to get either a major league guy that we kind of know about. Or they're going to get a one or two minor league guys that, you know, is going to be pumped up by JD and Len. And then, you know, we'll be playing with Seattle in 7 years. In the All-Star game.
Or Boston. You know, well, how about that,
yeah,
Dan? You know, Boston looks like the second baseman with the way Pedroia is going. Does Addison Russell end up there next week?
I mean, that would be a huge landing spot for him. And, you know, that's kind of what I was going to say when you threw that five teams, are they buyers or sellers? I think with the Giants and the Red Sox, I think, you know, those two teams especially have to have a combo of both.
Yeah, well, you know, humorously, I don't expect the Giants to be either. And, you know, I think, you know, unless something happens in this next week where they go on like a seven-game losing streak – but, you know, with as well as they've been playing, you know, they're in a pretty good spot. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's probably going to be difficult to bring Bumgarner back next year. And, you know, maybe they don't even want to, but what the hell? It's Bochy's last year. You know, they might as well ride out the string and see if they can contend. And, you know, again, once they get into the playoffs, you know, just the fact of, you know, having Bumgarner there, you know, could be all the difference in the world for a game.
Yeah, but I mean, in my opinion, I know it's 7 days, so it's real quick and short. What I would see, if it were possible, is maybe a little sell and a big buy. You know, maybe, you know, no straight up trades, but. And then the same thing with Boston.
You know, like, I could see, you know, maybe if San Francisco could swap a guy like Tony Watson for like a 3 or 4 starter, you know, I could see them making kind of a move like that. You know,
I think that
could really equal things out for them. But yeah,
That's what I'm kind of referring to. I don't think it would be like huge names. You know, anything like they're not trading Buster Posey or any of the core infield guys, either the Brandons or, you know, anything like that.
They're definitely not gonna go out on that. It does look like their little 3-game winning streak came to an end today. The Cubs did beat them 4-1, but that means they're still like, what is it, 18-3 for the month or something like that. So, you know, hopefully their fans don't react like Cub fans after one loss and they want to be still trading everybody now. But, you know, so yeah, I can't see them, you know, going out and making a major move. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they, you know, they drop in just kind of a, hey, let's add kind of like the A's did when they went out and got Homer Bailey. You know, you grab a cheap kind of bottom of the rotation type starter and you just kind of hope you know, he pans out for you. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I do wonder, you know, where Boston might go, because it's looking, you know, it's kind of looking more and more like Tampa Bay might fade. You know, because, I mean, they're at the point where they have, Blake Snell and Charlie Morton. And then in reality, I mean, their best bet is they've got to hope it rains for the next 3 days so they can come back with Blake Snell and Charlie Morton. So, I do wonder if Boston could just get right, and I don't know what it's going to take for them to get right, but, you know, they're only, you know, a game or a game and a half behind Tampa in the standings now. So, I don't know. You know, it could be maybe they can find that bullpen piece. You know, I mean, it looks like the Reds are sellers. Do you think maybe, you know, they add a guy like Raisel Iglesias so they actually have a legitimate closer and it's not Nathan Eovaldi who's supposed to be the guy?
You think that would be a smart decision, but, you know, maybe the Giants get together.
You know, I did see today that the Pirates are willing to move that Cano Akella. He just came off the 60-day IL. So I think he did pitch last night. You could probably get him pretty cheap. You know, he had back-to-back, I think it was 24-game seasons with the Rangers. You know, I mean, you got to wonder if he could be a cheaper bullpen ad for a contending team. But yeah, I You know, it's just been such a weird trade market so far. I'm not quite sure. So, you know, I'm not, you know, and I'm still kind of, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the market isn't really moving. No. You know, just kind of one of those odd things. You know, I did want to ask you, Dan, I forgot, I meant to mention this earlier. Since, you know, Gary Sanchez just went on the IL, does this mean the Yankees have to go out and get a catcher now? Because they've pretty much had to go out and get everything else.
They might need some help. You mean they don't have 6,000 catchers?
So, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they, you know, they have their, you know, their minor league guys that have been around for, it seems like forever, you know. Romine's been the backup all year, but they got Higasawa or Higagashi, who seems like he's been in their minor league system for about 10 years. So, you know, I'm sure he'll, you know, he'll be the guy brought up, but, you know, it seems like every time something goes wrong with the Yankees, they automatically need a trade. So I just kind of figured they needed to go out and get a catcher now, right?
Yeah, I mean, can't too low catch, or is he still hurt?
Yeah, well, that's if he plays again this year. So I'm sure DJ LeMahieu could probably catch. So, you know, that would, you know, maybe that would work out for him. We'll have to see. But here they have a – apparently Jeff Passan explained why the trade deadline is so slow. Let me open up this article and see if this makes sense to you or I. So, okay, come on. Tell me something here. Let's see. It looks like he's blaming mediocrity in the National League. It seems to be the issue there because basically, you know, everybody is still involved in the race except the Marlins. Other than that, he doesn't really say much about the American League. So, yeah, mainly his issue is mediocrity, Dan. Is that a buy for you?
That doesn't really say anything.
Right. Well, you know, that was like I saw another one of those wonderful things that, you know, and it always seems like it's the Yankees that do this, but apparently the Yankees were checking in with the Diamondbacks on Robbie Ray. Do we honestly believe that the Yankees are the only team that asked the Diamondbacks about Robbie Ray?
Of course, they're the only team.
So it was like, oh, yeah, you know, the Yankees are checking in with the Diamondbacks on Robbie Ray to see if they can get a deal done. Yeah, so is every single other team that needs a starting pitcher. So yeah, it was just like, really, we're going to do this again with the Yankees. It's like every time. It's like, God. Can you come up with another term maybe for it? Because, you know, checking in just doesn't do it. It's like every team is checking in with, you know, probably everybody. I mean, you know, there were scouts watching Bumgarner pitch. Was it last night or two nights ago, even though those teams are on his no-trade list? You know, they don't care.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that mediocrity is the reason with the NL or whatever. You know, that's just like my dad saying, well, it's because there's too many teams.
Yes, so the talent is too thin?
Exactly.
So, you know, and I do get there. You know, there are quite a few teams hanging around in, you know, like the National League wild card race, or, you know, in the NL Central. I think, you know, the three teams that we all thought were going to be there are there. Well, I should say the three teams that you and I thought were going to be there, because I believe everybody else we knew had written off the Cubs. But, you know, to be honest, when you get to the teams like the Padres and the Rockies, who are, you know, six and a half back, while it's not a huge number, there are just too many teams in front of them. You know, I mean, you're looking at jumping four or five teams, and that's just not going to happen. You know, they would have to go on a giant-like run, you know, like the Giants just did, to make that happen, and we know that doesn't go on all that often. So, you know, like you can start looking, and I mean, okay, mediocrity, but, you know, it's really thinned out here. There really are probably six teams competing for the two wild card spots in the National League. So I don't know if you can actually say that at this point in time, because, I mean, are you buying the Padres and the Rockies at six and six and a half out as wild card contenders?
No.
So, you know, and then obviously that eliminates everybody under them, which is the Pirates and the Marlins. So, you know, I don't get it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think you can blame mediocrity in the American League, because there's a, you know, it's really looking like a four-team race now, because the Angels have fallen to five and four and a half back. So, you know, you're really looking at the Indians, A's, Red Sox, Rays, and Red Sox. Indians, A's, Rays, and Red Sox is what I was trying to say. So, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess you and I'll have to investigate it more, Dan, and come up with our own reason for why the trade deadline is so slow.
Everyone's afraid to pull the trigger. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I assume we're to the point now where, you know, it seems like teams like to hang on to their prospects now. So you just got to wonder if, you know, these guys are sitting on their hands because they don't want to give anything up. You know, and I do still think the fact that the Giants got caught really killed everything, you know, because they had gigantic pieces that could have made differences, you know, in these races. You know, I mean, just with pitching alone, you know, if they would have moved Bumgarner, Will Smith, Tony Watson, and even, say, a Mark Melanson, you know, that could have been huge for teams, you know, if they really decided to rebuild and they found somebody to take on maybe like a Brandon Belt. You know, you always need those big-time power-hitting lefties. You know, imagine the difference the trade market makes if those guys are sitting out there. But now I don't think they are.
No, I mean, you know, for Melanson, Belt, and possibly Bumgarner, if that were the deal. Can you imagine how quickly that prospect list would fill up for the Giants?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they would, you know, having one of the, you know, most, you know, weaker farm systems in baseball to probably very quickly one of the strongest, if not, you know, maybe the strongest with that. You know, then you throw Will Smith in, who's got a lot of control, so you would probably pick up a good deal there. You know, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I think that hurt the market as much. So, oh, hey, all right, look at that. I didn't even realize this. Come on, we'll come live, but if you did happen to miss the podcast live, just follow along.
Thanks.